recently heard a message, and it was a good message on prayer. And here was the title, When Your Prayer Becomes a Cry. When your prayer becomes a cry. And the whole point of the message was simply this. When you get to the place where you're not just praying your little prayer anymore, but your prayer becomes a cry, that there's a longing down in your soul, that there is a cry that comes from deep within that God would do something. Hear the words of the song and also of the psalm that we often sing here. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart's overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 61. I believe it's Psalm 55 that says, Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. Psalm 55 says, Effectual prayers, prevailing prayers, are fasting prayers. Jesus said to His disciples, This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And there's something about fasting that causes prayers to prevail. There's something about fasting over a certain situation that causes the prayers to become more earnest. It causes the prayers to become more definite, more focused in on one thing. And Jesus even told His disciples as they asked Him, Lord, why couldn't we cast the devil out of this one who is tormented? And Jesus simply said, this kind doesn't go out except by prayer and fasting. You don't just pray a prayer on this one. You pray and you fast and you seek the face of God and then this kind comes out. Prevailing prayer many times is a fasting prayer. And a fasting prayer is a prayer that is prayed out of a heart that is fasting. It comes up out of the heart of one who has stopped the belly from being satisfied. And a day goes by, and another day goes by, and your fast becomes a prayer, brothers and sisters. And your heart becomes burdened about that which you're fasting over. And you enter into a stage of prayer where your very heart is continually praying over this one thing, and those kind of prayers that are focused, that are definite, that are burdened, that are willing to go without food to see something happen, those kind of prayers, God does something with those. Fasting intensifies prayer. Fasting brings our focus in. Fasting purifies prayer. Prevailing prayers also prayers that have right motives. James chapter 4 says, Sometimes you ask, but you don't have what you ask because you ask amiss. You ask it that you may consume it on your own lust. You ask it for wrong motives. You ask it for this reason. You ask it for that reason. And you ask it amiss. And therefore, God doesn't answer. But a prevailing prayer is a prayer with right motives. And many times as we begin to pray about something, we may not even realize what some of our motives are. But if we'll persevere and we'll set ourselves to pray until we get an answer for that which we're praying, then God can come down and minister to our heart and reveal maybe a wrong motive in our heart that we can deal with it and continue on in prayer until God answers. Brothers and sisters, did you ever pray through? Do you know what it means to pray through? That means you pray until you got an answer. You pray until you got a witness from God. Everything's going to be all right. Trust me. Do you know what it is to pray through? You may not believe in that, but that's what Elijah did. That's what he did. He prayed until he got an answer. That's what Jesus did. It was time to choose 12 apostles. And he went off into the hills and into the mountains for the night, and he spent the night there in prayer, and he prayed through. And he got an answer from his Father. And then he came down and chose the apostles. Many times our prayers are wrong motives. Women pray for their husbands, but only that life would get a little easier for them. Not a good enough motive. Parents pray for their children, but only that the troubles at home would stop. Not a good enough motive. But when we set ourselves to pray till we see an answer to our prayer, then God can purify our motives. And many times we have to say, Lord, what's wrong? And then God can move in and say, here's what's wrong. Here's a problem. Here's a need in your life. Here's something that you need to deal with yourself. And then you can go on and pray again. Prevailing prayer is prayer that is moved by the Spirit. If we could turn to Romans just for a moment there. Romans chapter 8. Prayer that is moved by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Prevailing prayers need to be Spirit-directed prayers, where you sense the Spirit of God leading you to pray in this direction. So many times we don't even know what to pray, and we don't know how to pray for a situation, but thanks be unto God this morning that we just don't pray by ourselves, that God has given us of His Spirit, and the Spirit of God can move upon our hearts and direct us in the way that we should pray. And sometimes you'll find yourself praying prayers that you don't even understand. They're just like the Scripture says, they're prayers of groanings that can't even be uttered. Can't even express them with our words. But they're being led by the Spirit of God. Prevailing prayers. Prayers that are motivated by the Spirit of God. And yea, prayers that originate in heaven. Energized by God's Spirit. In revival days, prayers flow out of God's people. And the reason why prayers flow out of God's people during revival days is because God's people have gotten into a relationship where the heaven is open over their lives, and they've gotten in tune with the Spirit of God. And when God's people get in tune with the Spirit of God, they begin to pray Spirit-directed prayers. And there are multitudes of prayers that God wants to pray among His people, but His people are not in tune with His Spirit. And therefore the prayers don't get prayed. But when revival breaks out, and we know it so, all of a sudden people who were not prayer warriors before become prayer warriors. And all of a sudden they can pray. They can go into their closet and pray for an hour and come out, an hour later feeling like 5 minutes went by. And it's because those prayers are Spirit-directed prayers. And God is longing to pray through His people. They just get in tune so that they can pray Spirit-directed prayers. And we know, brothers and sisters, we know that Spirit-directed prayers are prayers that change things because they come from heaven. Recently read an article about R.A. Torrey. who was a man who went around the world preaching. He was a disciple of D.L. Moody. Kind of sat at the feet of D.L. Moody, and after Moody passed off the scene, seems like he picked up the mantle somewhat and kept on going. But he gives the account in a book about a time when he and several others were together praying, and God just began to move upon him, and the Spirit of God began to move upon him to pray, and he began to pray, and he prayed things that he didn't even understand. He prayed for the souls of men in China, and he prayed for the souls of men in India, and he prayed for the souls of men in Germany, and he just prayed all over the world. His heart just went out for the souls over there that were lost, and over there in Germany, and over there in Africa, and he just prayed his way around the world, and he was just in awe, and he didn't understand what was going on, only to find out a few weeks later that God touched his heart and sent him to China and to Germany and to India and to Thailand and to Hong Kong and to many other places in the world, and multitudes of souls were gathered into the kingdom because of it. Spirit-directed prayers are prayers that change things. Prevailing prayer is persevering prayer. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18 and look a little bit here. Persevering prayer. Here's where many fail. They lose out on their answers because they do not persevere. And they do not prevail because they do not persevere. They give up. Look at Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So here we have it right here, right before us. He spake a parable with this end in mind, that he might teach those that were with him there that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. So he's going to give us a parable that will teach us that in our prayer lives, we should always pray and not give up. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And this parable spake he to teach us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We give up. We quit. In fact, those who have prevailed would be the first to tell you that most people give up just before the light dawns. Isn't that right? Because it's always darkest just before the dawn, and they give up. But this parable spake he to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray through. Get an answer. Wonder how many praying mothers could give us a testimony this morning if we were to go and look for them. Praying mothers who had a wayward son who prayed. I mean, they prayed. I've heard of praying mothers who took their wayward son's shoes out of the closet, took them into their little prayer closet, set the shoes down there in the middle of the floor, fell on their face and began to weep. And they prayed over their son or their wayward daughter. And they prayed until they had an answer. Illustration comes to my mind of James Stewart, who was a revivalist, an evangelist, used of God in, in the Eastern European Bloc countries before World War II. Used of God. Well, when he was 14 years old, he was a soccer player. He was good. He was a professional. And everybody's eyes were on him. I'm going to make this guy famous. He's a good soccer player. But there's only one thing they didn't account for. He had a godly mother at home who prayed. And she prayed. And she prayed. And she prayed until she heard from heaven that everything's going to be all right. And then she didn't pray anymore. Then she just waited. And the days went by. And the weeks went by. And all of a sudden, one night, as James was out on the soccer field playing, conviction hit that boy so bad he could hardly kick the ball around. And he made it through the game. And when the game was over, he fell on his face out there at the end of the soccer field and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he ran home to tell his mom because he knew Mom will be so excited to find out that I sold out to Jesus. And he went in there and he ran home and he came into his mom's house and said, Mama, I want to tell you something. And she said, I already know, James. What do you mean you already know? I heard from heaven 2 weeks ago, James. And I already made an appointment for you to give your testimony tonight. And that young fella at 14 years old was out on the street corners with one of those dumb signs, you know, that people don't like to wear. Gospel signs, walking up and down the street, preaching to all the people in, I think it was Scotland is where he lived, 14 years old. Prevailing prayer is persevering prayer. Prevailing prayer is also travailing prayer. And here's where we lose out sometimes. We're not willing to travail. Paul said in, I believe it's Romans 15, let's turn over there, Romans 15 and 30. Yes, Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Interesting little verse. Read it again. Now I beseech you, or I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That word strive means agonize. The Greek word is the word that we get our word agonize from, or agony. And Paul is saying here, I want you, brethren, to agonize together with me in prayer for me. That's what he was saying. Prayer is agony. Prayer is painful. Prayer is work. Prayer is sweat. Oh, the testimony comes to my mind of dear David Brainerd, who agonized for the Indians in this part of the country many, many years ago, back in the 1700s. He prayed for the Indians. He was a young man, and he was sent to be a missionary to the Indians, and he prayed for the Indians, and he knew what we were talking about here this morning. He He prayed these kind of prayers, and he was burdened about the Indians, and many times he would go out at night, and it was snowy outside, but he would go out into the woods to pray, and he would pray out in the middle of the night when snow was falling, and he would be sweating because of his prayers, because his prayers were agonizing prayers. He was striving over the Indians. He was laboring before God. He was prevailing to see God do something in the hearts and lives of those Indians. And God did something in the hearts and lives of those Indians. A year and a half after he came to minister to the Indians, what used to be big powwow services where the Indians were dancing around and worshiping the Great Spirit and in drunken stupor, all of a sudden the Spirit of God fell on that place and it became a church service, and the Indians started getting converted one after another after another. But David Brainerd knew what prayer was all about, and he knew that prayer that changes things is agonizing prayer. It's not just the general prayer. It's not just the lay me down to sleep prayer. It's not a Lord bless me prayer. It's a prayer that agonizes. When Zion travailed, she brought forth, it says in Isaiah. When Zion travailed, she brought forth. Paul said, I travail in birth pangs till Christ be formed in you, speaking to the Galatians. I travail with birth pangs to see Christ formed in you. Ephesians chapter 6, hear the words. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this earth, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But look at the word that Paul used. He said, wrestle. Wrestle. And that word wrestle in the Greek, it means wrestle. It means fight. It means sweat. It means energy. It means strain. And Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Oh, but praise God, we do wrestle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Oh, we wrestle. Turn to Colossians with me. Colossians chapter 4. And verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you. I like Epaphras. He is quite a testimony in a sentence. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras labored fervently. Prayer is labor. Work. Put in an hour of fervent prayer. You'll find out. It's work. It's labor. It's striving. It's straining. It's travailing. But it changes things. As one, I believe it was a sister, said one time, I never heard Daddy pray until Mama got sick. Then I heard Daddy pray. Yes. Then Daddy prayed. Oh, did Daddy pray when Mama got sick? We know what an effectual, fervent prayer is, every one of us here. It has emotion in it. It has zeal in it. It has voice in it. Sometimes it even has a loud voice in it. It has tears in it. It has earnestness in it. It has strain in it. It has sweat in it. We know that. All of us do. And if we stood beside a bed of a dying wife or one of our children, every one of us would know exactly what to do. Nobody would have to teach you how to pray an effectual, fervent prayer. Nobody would have to show you. You wouldn't have to call on the local prayer warrior in the church to show you how, what kind of a prayer you need to pray because your little girl or your little boy or your wife is about to die. You wouldn't have to call anybody on the telephone and say, "Brother, come over and show me how to pray." You'd know how to pray. Because the situation would be urgent. And you'd need no training at all. Well, that's the way God wants us to pray. He don't want us to wait till Susie's about to die. That's the way God wants us to pray. Oh, a praying church is a weapon in God's hand against the enemy. The enemy hates it. Turn a church loose in righteousness, making war against the devil in fervent prayer, and the devil will get upset. Lastly, prevailing prayer is believing prayer. Mark 11. I know. We know these verses. I know. We've probably heard some of it already. Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 19 is where we want to read. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. We know that story. Christ wanted fruit from the fig tree. He went there, there was no fruit. He cursed the tree. He came back the next morning and saw the tree was dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God." What an awesome thing to say. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea," and shalt not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Well, that's what it says. I think we ought to just believe it. I believe the Bible, don't you? That's what it says. I think we ought to just believe it. Believing prayer. Bold. Believing prayer. You know the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus and wanted him to heal her daughter? That's a very interesting account too. She came begging Jesus to heal her daughter. And Jesus put her off. It seems at first when you read it, he's being insensitive. But he wasn't. And sometimes when we ask God for something and He doesn't give it, sometimes we think God's being insensitive too, but He isn't. He wants us to desire it with all of our heart. And she came and she asked Him, Lord, would You heal my daughter? And He said, no. I can't give the food to the dogs. You're a Gentile. She was a Gentile. Oh, she quickly turned around. Her face wasn't wavered one bit by that. She turned around and said, yea, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the Master's table. And that made the Lord happy. And He said, be it unto your faith, and healed the daughter. And then He turned around to the disciples and said, by the way, disciples, that's great faith. That's great faith. You see, we've got this thing mixed up sometimes. We think if we ask God and God doesn't give it, then God doesn't want to give it. But God, we think it's unbelief to come and ask again. But here, Jesus said, that's great faith. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She just kept on begging. She just kept on asking. And she believed that God would do it. Prevailing prayer is believing prayer. Well, how is it? You have an answer? You need an answer? And you don't have it. You need to know what to do, and you're not sure what to do. You have a problem, and you don't know how to deal with it. You have a circumstance in your life, and you're not sure what to do with it. You have a soul you're burdened about, and you don't know what to do. Here's what to do. Pray through, my brother. Pray through! Pray through, sister! Pray through! Get an answer from heaven for that need that you have. Don't sit in complacency and say, what can I do? Pray through! Get a hold of God! Get a hold of the horns of the altar! And don't let go! Pray through for that need, that situation that you find yourself in. Young person, the same for you. Facing a battle, facing a temptation, pray through. You don't know what to do next? Pray that thing through. Lock yourself in a room somewhere and get a hold of God and don't stop until you get an answer. Think of the illustration there in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts 12 or no, where Peter was thrown in jail. And prayer was made unto God by the church without ceasing, it says in the Bible. They just got him out of jail. They just prayed him out of jail. Effectual. Powerful. Active. Hot. Boiling. Straining. Prayers of begging and supplication. They prevail. They overcome. They see an answer. They get the job done. Yes, the little plaque on the wall is true. Prayer changes things. We change it. We have it at our house. We change it. Prayer changes children, I think we put on there. But it doesn't matter what you put down there. Prayer changes things. What do you have that needs to be changed today? That's the challenge. That's the challenge to each one of us. Shall we kneel together in prayer?
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.